Let's pray over the word this morning. Father, we thank you right now that you are greater than our hearts today. Father, Lord, if there's any condemnation right now, we just cast it aside because you're greater than our heart. Lord, you're able to make all grace abound toward us. Lord, you said where sin abound, grace does much, much more abound. So we're not looking at sin this morning, we're looking at grace. Because it's by grace, through faith, in that grace, that we have been set free. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the anointing that's upon your word today, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring me from heaven, what Jesus needs to share with his church today. I just thank you right now for that, Father, and we believe and receive the promises of God in our lives this year, this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. The title I got for you this morning as I was studying, that God's vision, and it's a big, God's got big vision. He's got a big vision. Look at the universe and just try to comprehend how big his vision is. But God has a vision for each one of us. And God's vision always, always brings provision. God's not going to tell you to do something that he hasn't already provided everything we need to do it. He's not the problem, but we do have an adversary. His name is Satan. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal your provision that God has provided for you supernaturally. It's in the spiritual realm, right? He's still a spirit being, and he's trying to steal your vision. One man said it this way, too. If you think from the man's point of view, if you want to kill a man's vision, give him two. Because, see, we're divided. You can't be divided. You've got to be single-minded. Paul, single-minded, singleness of mind. God's given each one of us a vision, but then that vision can have different stages. It's not just one whole vision. We know God's, his whole vision for mankind is to reconcile people back to Christ. Jesus gave us a commission. A commission, that's a vision too. There's different visions, but each one of us God has given you a special vision. A mother, God gives her a vision for each one of her children. Different visions, but the same vision has never changed, that God is reconciling the world back to him. That's the church's vision. But then in that, we all have different visions. And there's provisions for each one of those visions. Right? I'm saying vision a lot here, so get a vision of this. Amen? Might say it 100 times. When God gave Abraham a promise, he didn't just say something, Abraham, I'm going to bless you and give you a seed. He gave him a memorial. Something to look at. The stars. He said, Abraham, look up there. If you can count those stars, if you can number them, if you can count them, so shall your seed be. See, he hooked his promises with something that Abraham could see. But that wasn't enough. He had him looking up, but then he said, look down, Abraham. He said, look at the sand. If you can count the sand, that's how numerable your seed is going to be. Two places. He had him looking up, and he had him looking down. Two places that man, he was in the wilderness. He had, we got it good. We got air conditioning here. I can go back here and bump this air conditioning up, whatever temperature I want. In a minute, you'll hear that thing start to rumble, and you'll feel something come out of there. Abraham didn't have that. He was blessed, but they didn't have that back then. Abraham worked all day. He had sandals all day working in the wilderness. At the end of the day, what was on his feet? Sand. Full of sand. You go to the beach, you hit that beach shore, you're going to have sand on your feet before you get there. Kelsey never liked sand. She's picking every little piece off when she got on her feet or hands. I'm not a sandy person either, but she's extreme, not sandy. Every time Abraham got done working, he was getting that sand off his feet, he was thinking of the promises of God. See, God put it on his feet. Look at the sand, Abraham. He knew he was going to be walking in that sand every day. And he got all the sand off and had that promise. He was getting all that off. Man, I'm going to be a father of many nations. This was a vision God had given him. And then what did he do? He got all that done. It's dark. You don't have a cell phone. You can't turn. Now, you had oil lamps, but they were conservative. You just couldn't turn a light on and have light. And he laid down in his tent. You ever been camping out in the woods? You look up, you lay down. What do you see? Starry sky. Another promise. God had Abraham covered everywhere he went. Working all day, his feet sandy, he's got a promise. He's got hope. Because he didn't have no children, but he had a vision. God had given him, he had a wife that was not able to bear children. But the Bible says Abraham stumbled not at the promises of God. He didn't stumble because he's looking at his feet and he trusted God. All that sand, he trusted what God had told him. So much so that after he had that son of promise in Genesis 22:14, this is just a couple, I didn't really pull a keynote scripture, but these are scriptures that God gave people a vision. And in 22:14, God had told Abraham, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed and your seed after you. In verse 22:14, God had called Abraham to go take Isaac and offer him on the altar, the son that he had waited for many years. In verse 14, he went to offer him and was going to slay the son, but at the right moment, the angel cried out from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, slay not thy son. Lay no hurt to this child. Because he believed. And he went all the way. Verse 14 says, after that, and Abraham called the name of the place where they had offered Isaac, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. He gave the name of the Lord. He called his name Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. That word Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, it says the Lord will see to it in the Hebrew. The Lord will see to it that you have a sacrifice. He's our provider. He'll see to it. He's already saw to it. Amen? Let's go back a little further. This is a little bit before Abraham. Let's go back to Genesis 12. Well, I won't take it back quite that far. I'm going to read Genesis 12, 1 through 4. That was an act of obedience that Abraham did concerning Isaac. God told him to go take your son and offer him up on the mountain. He didn't argue with God. He knew God had given him a vision. All that time before he was born, he saw the sand on his feet, the stars in the sky. He knew God. He trusted God. And when that child came and he was raising him up and God told him to do something else, out of an act of obedience, he knew if God gave me this son, and if he tells me to offer him up on the mountain, if he kills him, if I kill him, God's going to raise him up because this is my promise. He said he's going to bless me. So as an act of obedience, he did that. I'm not going to go this way a lot, but you got to understand God's thinking here. See, God's ways are higher than our way of thinking. All the time, God is trying to get Jesus. God is not trying. God is going to get his son Jesus into the earth. But to do that, everything God did, he said. When he said light be, light happened. When he said trees, when he created everything, he said it. And then he gave Adam authority on the earth, and Adam named every creature on this earth by saying and calling it a name. Jesus has a name. He is the I Am. Well, for Jesus to be born in the earth, it had to be spoken in the earth. Prophecies had to be spoken, and then they were fulfilled. So God got Abraham to take his son, Isaac, his only son, to the mountain and offer him. And then out of that act of obedience, when he was getting ready to slay his son, God told him to stop. But before that happened, you know, if you've been around your daddy 12, 14 years, you know daddy. And he offers sacrifices to God continually. Isaac knew there was supposed to be a lamb for the sacrifice. But all there was wood, and he was carrying the wood on his back. Isaac was carrying the wood. We might not get out of this story this morning. So Isaac and his dad go up to the mountain, and he's having a conversation with dad, you know, Teenagers need to have more conversations with dad and figure out what's going on before they get to the top of the mountain. Because he's saying, Dad, Abraham, probably called him Lord. Sarah called him Lord. Paraphrasing here. Dad, we're going up on the mountain to sacrifice. Yes, son. I got the wood. Wasn't you supposed to get the lamb? You know, to sacrifice the lamb, Dad? I think there might have been a little bit of silence. And Abraham remembered. He said, Isaac, the Lord will provide the lamb. Okay, Dad. He still ain't got this figured out yet. Okay, we'll get to the top of the mountain. The Lord's going to provide the lamb. Then he gets up there. Next thing you know, he starts tying his hands. Tying Isaac's hands. Man, what's wrong with Dad? What did I do? What Mama? What Sarah tell Dad I did? He's going to tie me up and whoop me. You know, Isaac, he hasn't had a conversation with Isaac, telling him what God's going to do. Next thing you know, Dad's picking him up, putting him on the altar. You don't read in there where Isaac says, Stop, Dad, stop. No, he's got faith in his dad, but he is, I'm sure he's sweating. This is not a good scene. And then, as every loving father would do, he puts his hand over his eyes. He's getting ready to sacrifice his son as an act of obedience. What is God doing? He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not going to let him take his son, Isaac, his only son, but as an act of obedience, he had got Abraham to say to his son, Isaac, God will provide the lamb. See, he got man to say, prophesied, Jesus was the lamb. And if you read the story, once he stopped, he looked back and saw a ram in the thicket. It wasn't a lamb, it was a ram. Because God would provide the lamb, Jesus. And God stuck to his promise. But he had to get, see, that's God's nature. That's why we tithe. It's not so that God can get our money. It's so we can get an act of obedience so God can get the blessing to you. See, God's always looking for your best interest. And it's going to be illogical to your mind, right? Supernatural provision comes in supernatural ways, and it'll go past your mind. But make sure you're hearing from God, because the devil plays in this territory too, okay? He's trying to get you off, he's trying to get that vision out of you. But Genesis 12, 1 through 4, I said all that to say this. These are promises that God made to Abraham before Isaac was born. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, and the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God never takes something from you if he won't get back to you. He's telling you to go somewhere, but he's going to take him to a better land. You need to understand, Abraham's dad was into idol worship. It wasn't like he was trying to get him from a good place. He was trying to get him out of a bad place. Amen? If your dad is beating you and whooping you, or your mom doing the same thing, God might need to get you out of that place. Don't say you don't give up on things, but you got to get out of that stuff. That's not God's will. And I will make you, Abraham, a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now be a good time to say thank you, Abraham, for trusting God. Thank you, our fathers of this nation that trusted in God, said, in God we trust, and wrote their names down on a contract, on a Declaration of Independence. That was a vision God had given them men. It's a vision worth fighting for. It was and it still is, this nation. Abraham was 75 years old right there when God gave him that vision. 75. Can anybody tell me how old he was when he had Isaac? 100. He was 100. Somebody do me the math. How many years did that vision take to come to pass? Whew, 25 years. Kelsey's not even 25 yet. She's been with me. She's been in Daddy's house a long time and still waiting on some things to come to pass that God has promised her. 25 years is not a long time. To become a father of a multitude. Man, it's okay to wait that long. But does that mean I wasn't blessed in the process? Oh, no. God blessed them as he went. He blessed him. The land became so numerous with all his stock. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes. You are the seed of Abraham. If you be Christ's seed, then you're Abraham. And you are heirs. Somebody say heir. Heirs to the promises. Sometimes that's illogical sometimes when I look at college tuitions coming up. And I've got three left. It's impossible. And I go to God. Father, God, not Abraham. Now Abraham, he done his part. But we go to the Father now in the name of Jesus. That's how we pray now. Back then they didn't have Jesus, so Abraham called him Father. Father God, Jehovah Jireh. It's okay to call him Jehovah Jireh. He still listens to that name. But Jesus has provided everything that we need. You getting a vision of that? Because the devil's going to want to come and give you another vision and say, you ain't enough. You ain't worthy for that. You wasn't worthy like Abraham. Abraham was not worthy. Can anybody tell me he married his half-sister? Is that right? And then he told his wife to lie to tell Pharaoh that you're my sister so they won't kill me. Is that a form of pride? All about me? She was beautiful. I'm not sure what Abraham looked like. In other words, he didn't look as good as Sarah because he was worried about living. But he knew his wife. She was looking good. But God is not looking at your flesh. He's looking at your heart before sin arrived because he done decided, I'm going to love them even through death. Their death and also my son's death, Jesus' death on the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Isaac was born 25 years later. God is faithful. I'm going to mess up sometimes. I'm going to say things and I'm going to either get ahead of God. I'm going to let you down. I'm going to go ahead and say it now because I'm going to let somebody down sometime or the other. Because I'm in flesh. This flesh is not it's not glorified yet. It's been redeemed. It's been bought with the price, but it's not redeemed yet. Because it's got to go to the Redeemer, to Jesus. When he comes, it's going to be redeemed totally. Until then, I'm going to let you down, but God is a spirit. He'll never let you down. If he said it, shall he not bring it to pass? You need to get a vision of that. Another prime example of God's provision is Genesis 1, 29 through 31. We're not going to make it far out of Genesis today. Genesis chapter 1. Anybody like prime rib? I seen prime, I'm thinking of food already. Prime rib. Whew. Looks good on the plate. These are some prime examples of God's provision. See, for me to have that prime rib, there was an animal that had to do a sacrifice. Had to sacrifice his life so I could have that provision. Well, think of Jesus on that cross. He was God's divine provision for mankind, slaughtered. Love was slaughtered so that we could live forever with him. But Genesis 1, 29 through 31. Go back to verse 28. 27, just start at 27. Because I like when it says, God created. Who is the creator? God is the creator. Jehovah, the self-existent one. He doesn't need no explanation. He is that he is. I can't explain God to you. He's beyond unexplainable. But I can show him to you in my life by the manifestation of his love, of things he's done to me, signs and wonders he has performed for me and my family. I think I've got that down, give an example, but I don't know if I'll make it that far. God created mankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Women, you've got the same blessing as your husband does, or vice versa. He created them, and then God blessed them. And God said to them, that statement right there can help a lot of people understand God. God blessed them and said to them, God cannot lie. Everybody agree with that? Amen. So is it God's will to bless you? Because he blessed them by saying, so he can't say, I curse you. By cursing. No, he came. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion, have authority over the fish. That's why we're getting ready to go to the beach here for 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not worried about these sharks. Now, I'm going to use obedience. I'm going to use wisdom. But God gave me authority over the fish of the sea. I'm not to live in fear. I'm to be wise. I'm not going to go jump, tell my kids, go, they're just sharks, go on out there. No, I know they got teeth. But we believe as we go, they need to go back to where they're supposed to be, deeper in the sea. Just a little nugget there. Because he's given us authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that creeps on the earth. And God said, see how I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. Anything on this earth that has life has a promise from God. Everything. He has given every green herb for food, and it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. There's good, and then there's very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Before all that happened, God made all the provisions before he created mankind. Everything was there, provided. Utopia, I like to say. Everything. There was more than enough. There's more than enough stuff in this earth for each one of us and every life that is on here. You won't get that from a lot of politicians. There's global warming. There's things happening. All these people, save the whales, save the birds. You got to watch. You got to stay out of that. That's not your vision. That's not where your vision's got to be hooked up. That's not where you need to put your money into that vision, because that's not God's vision. He said there's more than enough. Now, you got to use wisdom, but there's more than enough. Some people care more about starving whales or baby whales than they do about babies, human babies, having enough food to eat. That's evil. It's just perverted. Another prime example of God's provision was the birth of Jesus. Matthew 2:11-12. Let's flip back to the New Covenant now. Matthew 2. Talking about God's vision, God's vision he gives you always has provision. It says, and when they had come, these are the wise men, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child Jesus. He was not a babe, he was a young child. With Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him. This child is under 2 years old, has gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Everything Jesus needed, God provided. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It was enough provision from the time he lived to the time he died. And then for his family. Because God says he wants his provision is there for our children's children. And he's faithful to his word. And it doesn't say three wise men. It says wise men. There was what's the movie? A caravan. There was a caravan of wise men. I don't know how many, but it wasn't three. And it was more enough provision to last Jesus 33 plus years of gold. Look what happened as an act of obedience brings an act of divine protection. I'm not going to go there today, but verse 12. Then those wise men, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. God gave them a vision. See, they helped Jesus. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it needs to be said. They helped Jesus start his vision this was going to be enough to fulfill his vision. What did God do? He made sure that they didn't get killed by Herod. He helped them on their vision, get them back home. They got visions at home. They got families to feed. Mama needs daddy back home. Divinely warned. Act of obedience will bring divine protection, divine wisdom into your home, into your mind, into your now, right? If you are Christ, which you are, we have a divine purpose. Let's see what that divine purpose is. Ephesians 1:3. We have a divine purpose, and to find it out, Ephesians 1:3, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, this is verse 1, to the saints who are in Ephesus, to the saints who are in Concord, Word of Faith, Worship Center, and faithful in Christ Jesus, those that are not here, those that are coming that are faithful in Christ Jesus, I'm saying, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an invocation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That word Christ is the Messiah, it's the anointed and his anointing. There's your vision. Your vision is in Christ. It's hidden in Christ. So the only way you're going to get your purpose and your vision is to stay hooked up with Jesus. He's your divine connection to your purpose and to your vision. As long as you do that, doesn't mean you're going to do everything exactly right, but as long as you do that, God is faithful to that act of obedience to make sure that vision comes to pass in your life. And to make sure all the provision's there, but we determine the there. Am I at the right there? You know, by listening to God, it gets us there to where the provision is already, provision means it's already been provided. You got the right, you're at the right job. Now you got the right boss. It's already been provided, and he's going to make sure. He doesn't know why sometimes he's doing this, but you're the one I need to go up the ladder. See, that's divine favor. And he can use a heathen too. Whatever he needs to, he can use a heathen. Whatever God needs to do, because you're his blessed, you're his children. So, there's your divine purpose. It's in Christ. Your vision is in him. And each one of us have different visions. I just want to tell you a little bit what God has done for me. I say I got visions, and then we got many visions. There's one vision God gave me when I got born again. And see, that started the vision. Because before then, I was divided. I didn't know what I was going to do, where I was going. I was a basket case. I was like Moses. I was a basket case at one time. I was a basket case. But God gave me a vision. As I was reading, I found the vision in the Word. We were studying at home. And I can't remember, I can't tell you the scripture. I just know when I hit it, I knew that was me. The vision he gave me, he called me to minister his word. That was a vision I got. God called me to be a minister. I didn't know what all that involved, but then I looked up the word minister. Minister just means one that serves. So God called me to serve. He called me to minister, to serve his word. We served you this morning. We're serving the Lord. Serve his word is what he called me to do. I couldn't tell you, I didn't see this here today, physically, or even spiritually, being right here. But I knew God had called me to minister his word. Two, he told us that we would have a ministry. It would say, the title of that ministry is Say Yes to Jesus. Not T-W-O, but two. Just a special thing he did. He gave us a vision of that. Say Yes to Jesus ministry. And the purpose is in the title. Say yes to Jesus in every area of your life. Just say yes to Jesus. Take an act of obedience to his word and just say yes to what he's telling you to do. And in that, I said yes to Jesus a lot. Well, Lord, where do you need me to go? Lord, just whatever you need us to do. Spirit of Faith Ministries under Jim Howard. The Lord used his mother now. She lived to be 99 years old. She's gone on to be with the Lord, but she called our house one day because we were visiting his church, and then he retired, and we were in a church in Mooresville. But then she called, and she was just checking up on us, wanted to make sure we were okay, and wanted to let us know that her son, Jim, had thought he'd retired, but he's coming out of retirement, and he's starting a church. And we're like, okay. That led us, that was a divine connection. Somebody that cared, wanted to know where we were, listened to God, and that was our next divine connection to Jim Howard. God said, help this man. Help him with the vision I've given him. God had given him a vision that he had a baby out there that was dying. Jim said, a baby. It was just, and what we found out, it was just people that were hurt, didn't know where they were supposed to go, but God sent us to Jim to help the hurting, to heal the wounded, and set the captives free. That's the vision he gave Jim. A lot of people have been hurt, wounded. So we were just a lot of wounded soldiers that came into Spirit of Faith Ministries, and Jim equipped us, put us back together, helped us. It wasn't a big ministry, but it was the right ministry at the time. It was the right vision at that appointed time. Didn't have no other orders. Just stay here. Help him. People came in. People left. People came in. All fired up, want to do these great things. They left. Jim said, are y'all going to leave me? I kind of thought about, who said that? One of the disciples said that. Jesus said, take, eat of my, unless you eat of my bread and drink of my cup, you're none of mine. They thought he was talking about cannibalism. They said, this is a hard saying. A lot of them left. Then Jesus turned around to the 12 and said, are you going to leave too? Somebody stood up and said, Lord, you have the words of life. Where are we going to go? I kind of felt that when Jim come to us and said, are y'all plan on sticking? Are y'all staying? We're like, brother, we're here, brother. God hasn't told us to go anywhere. Just stay here. We were faithful. Just faithful to God, faithful to his vision. And then that vision was fulfilled, came to an end. Jim retired again. Thought he had retired again. But then God called him to Salisbury Christian Fellowship. So our next place, the next vision God gave us was a good friend of Jim's, Dr. Gary Price, was having issues. God said, help him. Help this man. Help him with his vision. We're like, okay, we're coming here, and I think we sat down for 2 weeks. Then we got asked to help. You know, and that's okay, but that's like I say, we need help. We need people. These gifts need to be used that are in the church. We just don't get nowhere just sitting around, right? God's given you a vision. He gave us a vision. And you're only going to fulfill that vision by acts of obedience. Amen? And helping somebody else. That's kind of where we're getting to. I mean, this is where God got us to. And all in that process, to say yes to Jesus' ministry, I'm like, well, then I started praying for the helps in the ministry. You know, you start praying for these things because you know if you got a ministry, you're going to need help. So God's still showing me and Sherry that part of the vision. That's still yet to come. It's already provided. Everything's provided, but I'm letting God bring us to that place. I don't want to get out of place. I want to come, you know, bones, if they get out of socket, they don't work right. I don't want to be walking around this, you know. I want to be walking. I want to be dancing, moving to the groove, in place. I want all my body parts to be in place. God needs his body parts in place. We don't need to be a misfit church. We need to be a fit church. If Dallas was here, he could show you what fitness is like. He likes fitness. He don't like it. He don't like to see my belly. He's always talking about my belly. The Lord's going to help me with this thing. We'll get fit again. But a part of that, say yes to Jesus, in that process, God said, teach my people faith. He spoke that to me loud. If you hear something loud on the inside of you, that is a big fulfillment of your whole vision. Teach my people faith. Same vision he gave Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. That just burned in my spirit. So every opportunity God has given me, Life Christian University, got my master's degree. Now I'm teaching. I'll be teaching my third year. See, there's that vision coming. And the church blessed me here. Some scholarships. Money. See, the provision was there. It was in the people. Had I not come here, yeah, God had a place for me, but I would have been misplaced. And then I'd have been waiting on the provision that I really had missed here. See, God would have had to work something else out. Oh, you know, he's trying to keep us, but he'll send the ravens to where you need. He'll get you some supply if you get out of his divine supply. He's not going to let us just be orphans and go hungry, right? Our kids mess up. That doesn't mean we shut the door and we don't let them come in and eat. We'll help them out, get them back on their feet, and then we'll get out there and do it again now. Do it right this time. We love you. Mean it. We love you. Mean it. Get out there and do it right. Survive. Thrive and survive. We don't want to just survive. We want to thrive in the kingdom of God. So that's teach my people faith. I'm getting to do it here. Word of Faith Worship Center. Got to help Gary out. And then Gary, I had no idea that he was hooked up to Life Christian University. My goal, my plans, I was heading toward Karis Bible College, hopefully to Andrew Womack. But that's out in Colorado. And kids, they were happy where they were at. So we don't need to make the family unhappy. So God worked all, he had all the provision here, locally. I still want to get out to Karis Bible College and be a part. There's a lot of good things going on out there. This church ties to that ministry, and I need to close this down, but remind me to talk about that here toward the end. This will help you. Your vision. If you're taking notes, three little points that will help you out. Write down what God has told you and what he continues to tell you. Or if you're somebody that's good, you can put it up here. Just put it up there and know it. That's good too. But write some things down. I like the smartphones. I make a lot of notes. God gives me something, it ends up being a message. I don't try to push it the next Sunday, but I just keep thinking about it, meditating upon it. This came out of a note I put down probably 6 months ago. Number two, help others in their vision. And that's where I want to mention Andrew Womack Ministries. Help others along the way fulfill their vision. In doing that, God will bring your vision to pass. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. God will make sure, you know, and Dallas is doing a good job here. He doesn't really take this mowing to heart because he's not watching me. Because I did maintenance. Larry knows about mowing. You get into maintenance. I did it for 8 years. You just don't weed eat. You weed eat it down to the ground. When I first started out maintenance, you know, I weed eat it. No, maintenance supervisor. That's not the way you weed eat around here. You weed eat it down to the ground. Because we got to do this every week. And if we don't have to do that next week, we'll do something else. You know, kids, you know, Tino, you're trying to teach them. No, you need to weed eat it down to the ground. Just the way I do it differently, so I'm out here helping him. So, I don't know where I was going with that. Help others fulfill their vision. I'm still helping Dallas on his vision. They're trying to get a vision of this is the right way to do it. You want to go a little bit further than just this. And number three, there's different stages of the vision along the way. Don't be hooked to, well, I thought what God said, I'm supposed to be doing this. Well, stick to what he's telling you right now, and that'll come. It's coming. He's giving you a main vision, but there's going to be little mini visions along the way. Help others out. Don't focus on yourself. Focus on others, and God, you'll end up at that place, and you'll be like, God, you worked all this out, all these things, little things. And don't care about those little things that's trying to get in your way or prevent. Just stay focused on God. And we're going to end there.